Good morning. Is that on? Yeah. Hey, it's funny, you know, and I've said it before from the pulpit, God's plan. This message has been a few weeks in the making for me. It came to me on Sunday morning while I'm listening to, I believe it was Les preach. But before we start, I just want to, how perfect God's plan is. Dwayne, what's the back of your shirt say? Fear not. What's the title say? Fear not. Do not rely on your own understanding. So again, I've said it, God's plan is perfect. I don't know why Dwayne wore that shirt today. But that's pretty cool. Hey, you know, I don't get into politics a lot, but our president, whether you like him or not, probably made the best decision he's ever made in his life, in his term. And I don't know whether he truly believes it or not, but I'm telling you what he did was he called today National Day of Prayer for our nation for this coronavirus. And, you know, whether he's just turning because he's lost or what, but so I'm going to pray real quick for our nation. But, you know, throughout the day, as you're going about your day, the rest of the day, stay in an attitude of prayer. I don't know what this thing is. I think it's overblown. I think it's media overblown. But I think it's something that's vital that we pay attention to. But I think Trump calling it for a day of prayer is probably the best thing he could have done. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you that we live in a nation with freedoms like nobody else has, Lord. And we know that we have fallen away from your plan as a nation, Lord. But we also know that you're still in charge. Lord, I just ask you today to keep that hand over us as a nation and keep that hand protecting us and guiding us and pushing us in the right direction, Lord. And as our decision makers are having to make decisions based off of schools and based off of closings and shutting the economy down and doing this and doing that, just give them peace that they are looking to you for those answers, Lord, not relying on their own understanding of what we're going through. As we head into this, and we have so many questions, we only need the one answer, and that's you, Lord. Just let us to lead us to stay faithful to you, stay faithful and true to your promise, Lord, and to show your love. In your name we pray. So as I was preparing for this, and I don't know, part of the reason I think this is coming is, you know, Lindsay leaves Tuesday. Well, we drop her off Tuesday. She leaves Wednesday. Destination unknown. But she's going to be gone for 6.5 or 7 months. Be back in October. And there's a lot of fear involved from Dad's perspective. She's ready. You know, she's ready. We've dealt with everything we need to deal with. But for me, it's hard when a 21-year-old saying, Dad, I want you to be my beneficiary of my will. That's scary. So this is as much at me as it is anyone. And this message was planned before the corona, whatever Lindsay calls it. What's Lindsay call it? Coronas? The Coronas virus? This was planned well before that, but I thought, you know, God's plan, again, is perfect. So COVID-19. COVID-19. I assume that's the medical name for this. And I did a little word analogy of it. C stands for Christ. O stands for over, V, virus, and I, infectious, D, disease. Christ over virus and infectious diseases. 19. And I went to Joshua 1:9 for the verse. It says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I really thought about that and I prayed about that this week. And, you know, I have a peace about where she's going. I have a peace about where this thing is going. I had to break the news to 15 young ladies that have been working their tail off. And I only have one senior. And I said, listen, I don't know what this is going to do. And this senior broke down and that broke my heart. But I know that at the end of the day, the decisions that are being made are above my pay grade, number one. Number two, they're way above my understanding. But my hope is the people that are making those are looking to God for those answers. All right. The term fear not is used 80 times. Fear not, quote unquote, fear not, is used 80 times in the Bible. Now, I've read and did some reading this week, and it says there's 300, and now pay attention, 365 passages about fear. Fear's pretty important. Fear's pretty prevalent even in the Bible. The passages I'm going to talk to you about today are going to be passages that should give us hope over the fear. Okay? This is not something earth-shattering. This is not something that's, you know, only I know. I'm telling you, this is stuff that's it's out there. Dig in and you'll find it. Fear is prevalently talked about in the Bible. And where they talk about fear, they also give you the antidote for fear. It's right there. It's right there. Funny story. Wednesday, I was in Bucyrus, and I was at a Family Dollar, and you know, I listen to satellite radio, so I don't hear the news all the time, because I don't listen to, like, CNN or anything. I listen to either Sports Talk Radio or the Garth Channel, or there's a 80s rock that I listen to. Drives my kids nuts, but whatever. And now I know what my dad felt like when he listened to his 60s and 70s stuff, and I got in the car and was like, oh, what is that? But I was in Bucyrus, and I was filling my front pop cooler, and I heard this ruckus coming from an aisle three aisles over. And I was like, oh, this woman was giving the store manager the business. And this lady's about this tall. She reminds me a lot of how Lindsay's built. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'd be talking to her that way. This woman was giving her the business because Family Dollar as a corporation had limited how many hand sanitizers you could buy. And I'm talking about the big jugs. They had limited it Monday morning or something to one per customer. The store had two left. This lady had both of them in her cart. And this store manager wouldn't sell them to her, and she was giving her the business. And the moral of my story is, if you need hand sanitizer, I'm going to tell you where to go. Duke has hand sanitizers. They're like this. They're pretty little colors, but they're charging a premium price for them. But I had a conference call Friday morning from my company, and I guarantee you the safest way to beat the coronavirus is drink more pop, is what our people think. We need to sell more pop, right? Okay? I don't get it. But we had a conference call, and they're working on a contingency plan for Coca-Cola, so I know this thing is serious. But it's hard for me to get too worked up, because at the end of the day, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Okay? Let's get into this a little bit. Let's go to Psalms 23. This is a great passage. And, you know, I had This was actually read to Chris one time. She was going in for a surgery for some cancer, and skin cancer, and I think it was Ben, actually, was the pastor, came in, and he read this, and I lost it. I broke down, and pretty cool. Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Guys, you can take heart in that psalm because it applies today. You know, think about where your path is. Think about where your path takes you every day. Guys, I when I think about that, I think, God, why did you put me here? And then I hear that at Family Dollar, and I get to talk to the manager afterwards and tell her I appreciate how she handled it, because she could have flew off the handle. She didn't. Our job as Christians right now is to remain calm, to not panic, to not worry. Our job as Christians is to trust our God and show His love through us to everyone else that might be in panic. You know, we had a party yesterday for Lindsay, kind of a bon voyage, going away party, and told her she could invite whoever she wanted. So she invited a lot of her aunts and uncles and grandparents, and some friends were there and whatever. And my brother and my brother-in-law, they're good dudes, but I went down to pick up some ice from my sisters. And Kara was like, "You know, your brother might not show up." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And then Adam came in the room, and he handed me this infrared thermometer. And he kind of had this smile on his face. And I was like, "What are you doing?" He said, "I would like you to stand at the door and scan everybody when they come in." He said, "And is this going to be under 100 people, or am I going to have to turn you into the governor?" Now, I know he was in jest, but it was funny to me. I said, I will scan everybody if that makes you feel better. But guys, that's kind of where we're at. We have people, and I know that was in jest and good fun, but we have people in our lives, whether it's at work or whether it's, well, you're not going to school, so that's not going to be the case, but we have to be a positive influence for people. This week especially, we may be the only God these people see. And if they see us helter-skelter, fighting over toilet paper and fighting over hand sanitizer and whatever, doom and gloom, what are they going to do that don't know God? 23rd Psalm, guys. He leads us beside still waters. He restores my soul. Okay, let's move on. We could go on forever about that. Psalm 125. I like the Psalms in times of trouble. You know, it's funny, they're kind of written as songs, right? They're praise to God. But they fit every situation. You can find a psalm to fit anything you're going through. Psalm 125. And I'm just going to read 1 and 2. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore." Guys, do we really understand what that passage is telling us? This junk can't get to us. We're bought. We're paid for. This junk can't get to We are surrounded by the Lord now and forevermore. What do we have to be scared of? It calls us like we are like the Mount Zion. You ever think of yourself like a mountain? Has anybody here ever not been shaken? Man, I get shook a lot, right? But you know when I get shook the most is when I fall away, when I'm not focusing my attention on God. Because I try to solve things my own way. I try to do things my own way. But I want to be like Mount Zion. Unshakable. There's only one way I can get there. That's with my Lord and Savior. All right, let's go back. 1 Psalms 18. And again, there are more passages you can take and you can get out of this, and you can, I mean, my challenge to you is dig in and get it. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, what's going on with that? Come on, Alan. Guys, I'll challenge Lindsay right now. This is two verses of, and keep that glued in. Keep that glued in. Because when you think of our God as our rock and our salvation, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. But my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's not only going to put you in the situation, He's going to pull you out of the situation. And He's going to be there for you to stand on the whole time through. Told you this was made for Matt. Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created Jacob, He who formed Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give nations in exchange for you, and peoples in exchange for your life. Guys, that is powerful. That he's talking to me. He's talking to Doug. He's talking to Tim. He's talking to Chris. He's talking to Lindsay there. He is talking to each one of us individually right there. And he thinks that much of you that he will give all of Egypt for you. Why was Egypt so important? Because back when this was written, what was Egypt? It was a powerhouse. They had all the gold. They had all the pyramid. They had everything, right? The slaves built. He's saying, I will give everything for you because I have redeemed you. By that. We have been, I don't understand that all the time because, listen, when Matt gets up here and he's excited, he understands it. I mean, I sit back there with my hands in my pocket and say, that's cool, I'm redeemed. Right? Guys, we should be excited about that. We should be excited about that because he chose us and he's going to give everything for us, for our life. He already did. You don't think you're special. Go to Isaiah 42 and read it. Or 43, sorry. And read it. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in 28. And my Bible has these little dumb boxes, I call them. This one says suffering. At issue is suffering. Yeah, you know what? I'm reading the whole thing. 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Do you guys understand that? The world waits in eager anticipation for the glory of God's children to be revealed. That is pretty cool. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as it pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our body. You wonder why redeemed and redemption are talked about so much? Do we really know what redeemed means? Do we really know what redemption is? Do we understand it? I think last week, Matt, you talked about grace, right? Redemption goes with grace. Because we didn't deserve to be redeemed. Guys, you understand, every sin you've ever committed in your life has already been redeemed by the blood that our Lord gave us on the cross by His grace. So redemption's important. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And He's going to give more. He said He's going to give you Egypt. I'll give Egypt for your life. Because we are valuable to God. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Your wordless groans. What does that mean to me? It means, gosh, even when I'm dumb, and I'm dumb Matt, the Spirit knows what I'm praying for before I utter the words. Okay? The Spirit knows what you need. The Spirit knows what you desire. We don't need all those words. He doesn't need all those words. He knows it. But are you spending time in prayer? Are you being dedicated to prayer? For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. This is where I want you to understand, guys. Listen to this. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He glorified. So instead of us putting God on a pedestal like we should, God puts us on a pedestal like we don't deserve. Guys, if you think our God does not care about you, dig into this. That verse right there is pretty amazing. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. That's pretty cool. So you are glorified in God. And I'm going to go to 1 John for the last passage here, 14, or chapter 4, verse 13. It's 13 through 18, if you want to write it down. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so now, so we now know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? You know, my wife hit it on the head Thursday. She called me after school and she said this, I think she sent me a text message and it was about this long. It was bigger than my phone. And said, this is so stupid. She said, I am not going to live in fear. I am not. This is crazy that we are shutting school down. Blah, blah. I mean, it went on. She was mad. I could tell. I was one of those things. Kind of glad it was a text message because then I was like, okay. Because I didn't have to be face to face with her knowing how aggravated she is because I just have to be quiet. And that's hard for me. But she's right. Guys, as we go live our Christian lives, we cannot live in fear. Now, we have to be smart, but we cannot live in fear. Because we are justified and we're going to be glorified by that right there. As you go through this, well, I don't know, season we'll call it. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, I'm kind of upset it's going to take away softball season. Right? At the end of the day, softball season really doesn't matter in the big picture of life. But it's the world of these kids. You know, if I was a track runner like Lexi, I'd be thinking, goodness, season's canceled. All that business track. You made a wrong choice. You didn't follow God's plan. I'm teasing. But by the way, this has nothing to do with the message, but I want to give Lexi her due, and she'll get embarrassed, I know, but Lexi was named special mention All-Ohio for basketball. That's pretty cool because she's a sophomore, so that's pretty cool. I found that out this week. I didn't find it from anybody. No, Lexi didn't tell me, but I found that out. So that was pretty cool. But guys, what we deal with here on earth is a small, small price for the reward that's already been paid for us. Whether this lasts 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 8 months, we still can't live in fear. I hope it don't last 8 months because I will need toilet paper by the time 8 months is up. it slays me. You know, this is a upper respiratory type thing, I think, from everything I've read. And I had a Dollar General manager. She's like, man, do you know why it's toilet paper? I said, listen, people are so scared that they're never, ever, we're not going to produce any more toilet paper after this batch is made. And we're never going to be able to get out of our house. Seriously, I refuse to do that. I did buy some hand sanitizer. That's not going to last me very long. Because that's Coca-Cola. That's Coca-Cola's response was they want us, now they tell us this on Friday, go buy some hand sanitizer if you don't already have some. There is no hand sanitizer. So I went to my BP store and bought 5 of these. I got grape and orange cream if anybody needs any. I bought them for $2.49. They're on sale for $10 a piece. I'm teasing. But this whole fear thing, it makes me crazy. And I'm probably the eternal optimist. You know, I still believe I'm going to have a softball season. I still believe the kids are going to go back to school. I still believe business as usual. Listen, until I get time off work, it's not an emergency. Okay? The teachers and the kids can have time off. And to me, that's like a, you know, they had snow. They had 10 drops of snow. But I understand we have to control it. We have to be smart about our fear because we have to control it because we can't overwhelm our medical system by letting this thing blow up overnight. So I do get it. I'm not making light of it. It's just I am not afraid of it. You know what? If I'm going to go today, let me go. I know where I'm going. And I ain't scared. Okay? We have to be smart, but we also have to show God's love in everything we do. There, you're going to come across people this week that need to hear you say your faith. Because they're going to ask you, why aren't you panicking? What am I going to be scared about? I know where I'm going. So as we wrap up, and we're going to bring Lindsay up, and you know I get it if you don't want to come up and pray, but I want to circle her. We're going to pray for her, and she's not real wild about it herself. But I told her that was too bad. That was Dad's fear, and I get to choose that fear. But we're just going to pray for her and you know, continue to pray for her. Listen, we are not scared of where she's going. We're not scared about what she's going to do. I think she's going to come back in the best shape of her life because I think she's going to be on the shovel end of concrete. So she had the choice of being doing vertical work, building framing, or asphalt or concrete, and she chose concrete. Hey, whatever. Hope you like that big 48-inch rake that you use in the military. But just pray for her. And you know, my prayer for her is not for her safety. Obviously, I pray for her safety. My prayer for her is that she can be a rock to somebody else over there. Because she's going to come into contact with people that they don't know where they're going. And I want her to be a light and a rock for somebody else. So that's where I'm at. So Lindsay, if you'll come forward, Les and Jesse and anybody else who wants to pray, Chris and the girls and Mom and Dad, you'll come up too. We're just going to pray for her. You're all welcome to come up. I understand if you don't want to get in contact with the crazy guy that's not afraid of the COVID virus. I know. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we lift Lindsay up and we lift her up. And Lord, while we don't know exactly where she's heading, we know that she's in your hands and we know that she's part of your plan, Lord. And Lord, while there's anxiety and there's fear and of not knowing, there's we also know that she's in your hands. Lord, we just deliver her to you and we ask you to guide every move she makes, Lord, and just clear the path for her. But also, Lord, I want her to use her Christianity to be a rock for someone out there over there. She will come into contact with someone that needs to hear why she has no fear, why she has no reservations of where she's at, Lord. I just thank you for this church family and thank you for everyone here that we were able to gather today. And Lord, I pray for our government. I pray for our leaders. I pray for everyone involved. Because now I'm delivering one of mine, one of yours, to them, Lord. And let them understand that priority that I have placed on her. Lord, I just lift her up. And I know that you are in charge and you are in her life. And there are no fears. I guess the praise guys will be here. If you have any praise, prayer concerns, or if you don't have that relationship with Jesus today, there is no time like the present, people. Come forward and we'll lead you through that.
Lord in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Here thank you.
Praise the Lord, Debbie. Oh, I forgot that one. I forgot that one.